In this episode of the Smart City podcast, I interviewed serial hacker and fellow Smart City Council emerging innovator, Angela B. Chen. Angela is the CEO and founder of Hackathons Australia, and she tells us all about hackathons and how they are connected with smart cities, which I really loved hearing about. We also have great chats about piloting technology in regional areas and the importance of bringing back connections to Australia to boost our ecosystem. Angela also shares some insight into linking smart cities with educating the future workforce and sustainability. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with smart city experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hi, Angela. How are you going?
I'm great. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Let's just jump straight into it. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about?
Yeah, so I guess I started off working in public relations, so more in media. And I got really interested around startups and hackathons and innovation. So I guess when I was working in public relations, I found it a bit boring. So I decided to go to my first hackathon. And so when I did that, I learned a lot about new people, education, knowing how technology can enable how we do our future. And so the more I went to, the more exposed I got, and also it sparked a lot of interest. So my background, I went from PR and then I went into IT into marketing. And then now I run innovation at a company called Schneider Electric, and it's fantastic there. I get to be an innovation catalyst. So that's what I do during my full-time job. And outside of that, I also run Hackathons Australia. So it's a great community group, and we help people to organize their hackathons and also expose them publicly so people can attend.
Wow, that's awesome. So what sparked your interest in smart cities?
Well, for me, smart cities is the way, the future of how we live, work and play, and it really impacts everyone everywhere. So when I first got in touch with Adam Beck from Smart Cities Council, he actually read one of my articles on Hackathons Australia, and he was telling me about smart cities. And then last year I had the opportunity to run a smart cities hackathon at Schneider Electric. So I learned a lot around IoT, around how we work differently, how there are different layers of smart cities, and the progression from what it was, you know, smart cities 1.0, where it was just connecting people to each other, to what it is now, to making it more sustainable and more smart. It really shows how we can do things in the future. So I'm really excited about what it's like to connect devices together, but not only connect, but also add that extra layer of data and analytics, and then generate predictive insights as well. And using those insights to spark decisions is what has interested me in smart cities.
Yeah, cool. Are there any particular technologies that you've come across that you want to dive really deep into exploring?
Yeah, so working at Schneider, it's really because we do a lot of work in IoT, especially with my most passionate points, or the ones that I can relate to most, is smart homes and home automation. So, for example, there's one instance where we help someone with cerebral palsy, someone who doesn't really knows what they want but can't really interact with it, go from the time that they step into their home to the time they leave. They don't have to do anything in terms of pressing any buttons, but what smart home does is that it detects different, you know, from the time that they go in, it's like, okay, the doors will open, or, you know, the lights will turn on, it will adjust your temperature, put on the music that you want, and so all that smart and automation can really help people, not just for the everyday consumer, but also help people with disabilities as well. And so that's really interesting to put that into perspective. So not just IoT, but also AI as well. I feel like there is a massive opportunity and potential currently in the market to see how artificial intelligence can benefit people as well. So making these, you know, bots and also generating these insights that are really interesting can, yeah, shape the way that we live, work and play. And hopefully in the future, some technologies such as like blockchain could be an enabler, but I don't feel like it's where the current market sits right now.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about some of the projects or things that you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, so I told you a few of about the Smart Cities Hackathons that I ran last year, and I also did a Future Cities project with WWF last year where we focused purely on IoT and blockchain. So right now it's just like getting the feelers out there, seeing what, in terms of Hackathons Australia, seeing how the hackathons that are shaped right now integrate with smart and connected products, as well as experimenting with AI and bots and machine learning, and also see how that these technologies can be ideas and that kind of thing. I think one of the interesting hackathons that I came through last year was, I think, on the Sunshine Coast, where they were actually using hackathons to build a smart city. So seeing how that can be integrated more into how we do things and how it shapes our cities is very interesting.
Yeah, cool. Could you explain what a hackathon is? Just so everybody, people that haven't heard of that before or have heard of it but not really sure what it is, can understand that.
Yeah, so a hackathon is a 2 to 3 day creative and in very intensive session where a diverse group of people come together to solve a problem using technology as an enabler. So really it's getting people that you don't normally get together to collaborate with each other, to be educated around methodologies, agile methodologies such as Lean Canvas, design thinking, and then seeing how we can use technologies that we can experiment with to create awesome solutions. So it normally occurs on a Friday. So it starts on a Friday and people come together, they congregate over a topic or a theme. So it could be around, for example, fashion, food, buildings. It could be smart cities, even generally as a topic. And then they come together and they form teams. And then when they form teams, normally on a Saturday, they go through research, ideation, getting to know the customer and the customer journey, understanding their pain points and seeing what kind of features can the team make to benefit out of it. And then on a Sunday, they pitch their solution or their prototype to a judging panel. So normally there are what we call minimum viable teams. So this minimum viable team creates a minimum viable product. And this team consists of 3 different types of people. So we have the hustler. That's more the sales, marketing person, someone who ideates, has the creative juices. We have the hipster, and this is the person who is the more creative person who designs the solution. And then we have the hacker, which is the person who makes the rapid prototype. So with these 3 people, they can come up with something awesome, something, you know, out of whack, something innovative, and they can pitch that back to the organization or back to the group. And that is essentially what a hackathon is. It is really good. You have access to a lot of, you know, great mentors during the hackathon. The judges, I remember, at the first hackathon I went to with the Foundation Young Australians, the CEO was there. Same with, I think Samsung was sponsoring it as well. So a lot of great, credible people, as well as people around you and participants who are willing to share. And that's what I really learned a lot about the developer community, and how they are so willing to open source a lot of information, a lot of data, and a lot of information that they know, and to build that out and spread it with whoever else is willing to be open and to willing to learn as well.
Yeah, cool. So is there funding involved? So if you pitch, you know, the best idea, is there opportunities to fund that idea? Is that the whole point?
Well, the point is really around collaboration. So getting a diverse group of people together from different walks of life, from different experiences and backgrounds. You can see this from the Smart Cities Council Emerging Leaders Group, like we are so diverse. It's kind of similar in that way. So getting a wide variety of people and learning from each other. So that's the first thing. The second thing is education. And because everyone comes from such a diverse background, it's also educating people around some innovative technologies and tools and methodologies that people can get together. And the third thing is testing ideas and creating rapid prototypes, because hackathons are a way to fail fast and fail in a safe environment as well. So if you want to fund and to carry on with your solution, that is also the option if you'd like. Hackathons are not startup marathons, but they're hacking marathons. So a lot of people do want to carry on their solution, and a lot of people don't want to carry the solution. They just want to test new ideas and ways. So we just want to make the avenue so that it's whoever wants to carry on, awesome. If they don't, that's fine. And so it also depends on what the sponsors want and what the objective of the organizers is for the hackathon. So if the objective is to create startups, awesome, you can do that. If the objective is to fund new startups and prototypes and new technologies, that could be also another avenue. And if it is to do that, then we can fund them if you would like, depending on who else you would get into the network as well. So you can also involve incubator programs, accelerator programs, consulting firms as well, so they can come in and also flesh out and do further research, because ultimately this is only 2 to 3 days, and this is widening the funnel for any ideas, for any solutions that can actually come into place.
Yeah, awesome. No, it sounds really cool. I haven't been to a hackathon yet, but I've heard so much about them, and I think I better go and find
one. Yeah, I think the best approach is to make it like a fun learning experience, because if you put too much pressure on yourself, you kind of get lost into it. So, yeah, just approach it like a lot of people, I would say 70 to 80% of people who go to hackathons have never been to one anyway. So everyone is in the same boat. So it's all about taking that first step to experimenting and just doing something that you don't normally do, because that's where innovation comes from. It's about, you know, it's not doing the same thing over and over again. It's doing something new and being thrown into a situation that you don't normally am thrown into, and creating that, you know, innovation, that creativity and different ways of thinking.
Yeah, cool. So does Australia have a lot of hackathons going on at any one time?
Yeah, so Australia's actually been very progressive in the hackathons that we've been pursuing. So I started Hackathons Australia a couple of years ago, and I started recording, and because we publicize all the hackathons for everyone, so everyone knows what was happening. So when I first started doing hackathons, I was just Googling hackathons in Google, and I was pretty good at that when I worked in public relations, because that was one of my key jobs, was to find, media releases and posts and mentions. So I was like, okay, because I'm doing this, I might as well record them all in a spreadsheet and see what it's like. So I started doing that in 2016. And in 2016, we had around 60 hackathons happening around Australia. So this was like not just in cities, but also in regional areas as well. And then last year we had 124 hackathons. So almost doubled the ones that we recorded in Hackathons Australia. And then right now, I'm sure that we've got around 42, and that's the ones that have been submitted through our website, and also the ones that we've seen, say, on Twitter, or the ones that we are aware of. So last week we had 3 hackathons in New South Wales, actually 4 hackathons in New South Wales. So we had a congestion hack, and that was held by Transport for New South Wales, Clean Tech Women Hackathon, and that was part of Energy Lab, which is an incubator program. And then we had Sex Tech Hackathon, which was run by the Future of Sex. And also Cold Brew, which was held at the University of Melbourne. So there was quite a few hackathons happening last weekend, and this weekend there aren't any because of Easter, but it's good to see that you know, there is a lot of activity and drive around this as well. Yeah. This is where smart cities should really play a massive part, because it's really transversal. It plays a part in a lot of different sectors. So like one example was Water Hack that was held by Queensland Urban Utilities. And that was a big one where there were a lot of industry leaders and corporates involved. So you have different types of hackathons where they are held by corporates and sponsored by corporates. And you also have ones that were held by the community, and that's held mostly by people who have been going to hackathons before. So there's a great opportunity to come in and to use the knowledge that we have in terms of how we shape cities to better enable how we do things. So there have been ones like the Global Legal Hackathon as well, AgriHack, so I facilitated that in Wagga Wagga. And so there would have been, you know, great ways to experiment on how we can do different things.
Yeah, awesome. So where do you think Australia ranks when it comes to smart cities? Are we pretty well up there, or we're getting there? You said we're pretty progressive with hackathons. So does that kind of correlate to our progress in smart cities?
Yeah, so Australia's doing pretty good with smart cities. I can see this especially because we are building smarter cities through even government. So Transport for New South Wales, they've done so many open challenges, and for them, they really engage with the community, not just the developer community, but also people who work in the industry as well. So they've really brought that as one of the best practices for government, and I feel that a lot of other agencies, government agencies, are looking up to them and seeing how they can also do it within their agency and also in their local council. I think that there is still a lot of room for improvement in terms of smart cities. Look at places like Amsterdam, and they've got the Edge, which is the world's most, you know, sustainable and smart building out there, and they've really put a stand in that. I think that's a Deloitte building as well. So there are places like in the US, and I think we're still making our stand there, but there needs to be more buildings that are more smart. I think Queensland and Brisbane, they've been pretty good in terms of their smart cities and their investment in it. Advanced Queensland have done a great job in doing that. Launch Vic have also done put a lot of investment in Melbourne as well. So we can see that there's a lot happening there. The world of drones, that is also coming later this year. So Catherine Ball will be championing that, and she's going around Asia right now to attract people here. So I think in terms of government and where we're heading, it's definitely where we need to be at, and there needs to be more activity to champion people like Catherine Ball, people like Steve Baxter, who are passionate about what they're doing and using their connections and bringing that back into Australia. So I think for us, we are making a stand. It will take a bit of time as well. But it's also seeing what other people are doing in around Australia who can also make Australia, you know, the best place to test smart cities as well. So there's a massive opportunity for us.
Yeah, cool. So do you have any ideas of good places or cities that could pilot smart technology?
Yeah, so one thing that I'm pretty passionate about is regional areas. So I went to AgriHack, which is an agriculture hackathon, and we used smart technology to help people with grain storage, with identifying meat chicken and how to count meat chicken as well. So there were quite a few problem statements around that, and also solutions as part of that. And what I realized is that regional areas are a great way to pilot smart technologies. Even autonomous vehicles, that's a really great way to see and to experiment, because we have so much land in Australia. I've been talking to a lot of people internationally, like in India and in the US, and they come to Australia because we've got so much land and there's a lot of opportunity for solar. Mm. So smart, like using energy, testing out microgrids, that's a massive opportunity here. We look at Adelaide and seeing how they are also piloting this. We've got, you know, Elon Musk stabbing his feet in here as well. So for us, we've got a lot of assets and resources, and we should really leverage this to pilot smart cities. So that's the reason why.
Yeah, cool. So how do you think we're doing integrating across the different disciplines and governments and universities?
I think right now there could be more that we could be doing in integrating different disciplines and government and industries. And I think this is why Smart Cities Council and Emerging Innovators are going to do a great job, because in our group, and I'm sure you know this, we've got people from corporate, from government, from industry bodies and different disciplines, not just people in consulting, but also people who have got their own startups or are working on their own, you know, projects and different passion projects and what they want to do. Like even working, like for me, working for a technology company, Schneider Electric, it's really interesting to be involved in the space and seeing how for us, we've got three layers. So we've got something called EcoStruxure, where we have our connected products. So we call it like a full stack. So similar to what I guess developers have, in a sense that we have our full stack technology. So with our layers, we have our connected products, we have edge computing and our data and analytics side of things. So I think we can definitely be, you know, more cross-discipline. In my perspective, government need to do a bit more. They need to invest more in their time and their resources in bringing this up. And I think they do recognize it. But at the same time, like who are the industry bodies out there and what are they doing in terms of shaping our policies and what we do? So I think there still needs to be a lot of room for improvement. If we look at, like, for example, the Edge, which is one of the buildings that we see in Amsterdam, the reason why we look up to that is because it wasn't just one, you know, company, Deloitte, doing it, but they integrated a whole suite of technology, a whole suite of people, facility managers, people who are working in that space. And it takes a lot of time and effort and investment into things like that. So really we need to boost up our ecosystem and go, okay, where do we need to go? Like, where do we want to attract people, and how do we together start those conversations and make these and build prototypes, use hackathons as a tool to start small and to start experimenting and ideating. And once we have that ecosystem running, then awesome. Let's build, you know, a whole smart city out of this. And let's what is the future of work? What is the future of how we live, work and play? Because everyone's great at talking, but what are we actually doing?
Yeah, cool. Do you think that Australia can become leaders in smart cities?
Yeah, definitely. I think we can be smart the future. Of course we can be leaders in what we do, but I think, again, it's really dependent on the people and the resources, the time, and just getting people together to collaborate and do awesome things. I think one thing that we need to understand is that we need to be early adopters. So there's a chart where there are, you know, the inventors, the early adopters, so the inventors being like the top 1 or 2%, and then you have the early adopters, which is the next, you know, 3 to 5%, up to 10%, and then you have followers, which is everyone else. And where Australia is at, we probably are one of the followers, and seeing what other people are doing, we do rely and see what else is out there. We're probably not inventors like those in Israel, but we can be the early adopters if we shift our mindset. And this is about being curious and seeing what is out there. This is where collaboration is really important. So yes, we can do it. In terms of our technology and what we have, it is getting there. Like, there are places like China, and what they do is always on mass and on scale, and going to their warehouses. Like, I was talking to someone about Wuhan and their manufacturing plant, and it's just seeing how, you know, there is a lot of technology out there. Whether we can manufacture and also, you know, scale it, whether we can afford it, I think that's a different question. But, you know, we need to go to China and go to, you know, other places and see what's out there and leverage that and experiment here in Australia, because what we can see here is that even like with a lot of companies and, you know, say from especially global organizations, when you observe why Australia is where we are, is that we are a great place to pilot a lot of campaigns, technologies. Whenever something gets rolled out, they always use Australia, or I know Schneider does, and a lot of other organizations, big global organizations, use Australia, is because we have that flexibility here. So we really need to leverage that and go, okay, we are leaders in this smart city space and technology. And because we have that opportunity to pilot and to test these campaigns, we can be leaders and appear. And I think a lot of people do dismiss that and don't recognize how agile we are.
Yeah, cool. So what are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about at the moment?
This is a good question. I think that some of the trends, I think it's interesting because a lot of people are talking about certain trends such as blockchain, but whether the market is there is a different question, whether it's accessible for everyone, whether we're able to influence and get the, I guess, the followers along is a question. I think what's missing is AI and the impact that they have. It has so much potential because it's people, you're training machines to learn different patterns. You're feeding them information and they're consuming information at such a rapid pace with so much data and making decisions based on this as well. And this is what humans cannot do. With machines, like even with machine learning and like generating bots out of this, this has so much potential in the way that we make our decisions. I think data needs to be delved into more. I know there's been a lot of talk around it, but really, like, what's actually happening? Like, people are going, okay, we need data scientists. Like, you know, universities like UCS, they've got a data scientist course, but how about the other universities? How are we equipping the next generation to understand this? And not just to, not just to gather information, but generating those insights is really, really powerful. So, I think AI, a lot of people are talking about blockchain, but I think AI is like a massive thing. Another thing is sustainability. I went to Singularity University Summit a couple of weeks ago, and for them, it was about making a difference, not just, you know, generating the, you know, $1 billion, but helping people become a millionaire or billionaire in terms of lives. So how many lives are we impacting? How can we make a positive impact? And the UN Sustainable Development Goals, everyone's working towards them to make a positive impact on the world. And we really need to be understanding what our purpose is and why we're doing things. So I think these two are the emerging trends that we need to be looking towards. And the more impact, positive impact, sustainable impact that we have, the better we service like other people and improve the lives of everyone around us. And we should be using technology in that sense, not just, you know, revenue making, but making a difference and making a sustainable change.
Yeah, definitely. No, I love that. So I only have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
So people can connect with me through LinkedIn. So my name on LinkedIn is Angela B, so B-E-E-Chan. I'm also on Twitter as well, so you can reach out to me. So at Angela, so A-N-G-E-L-A-B-E-E-Chan, C-H-A-N, and also through Hackathons Australia. So if you're interested around, you know, hackathons and what and how to get involved, then you can go on hackathonsaustralia.com. We've also got a vibrant community on Facebook as well, so Hackathons Australia as a Facebook group and page.
Awesome. And I'll put all that in the show notes so the listeners can click on down. Well, it's been so great to talk to you this morning. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure everyone listening has as well. And I'm keen to get involved for sure.
Wonderful. Thanks, Zoe.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.